Gotta love those little ones. They are so precious. They're only that age for so long, so you gotta enjoy every moment, every minute. He's like, shut the door. Okay, I guess we should get started, huh? All right, so the title of my message is oh man, I had a title and I changed it, so I'm just gonna call it Bearing Your Burden. Okay, so you can go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll start there. I'm gonna read mainly out of King James. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. And it's when I first read this, for a long time, I just kind of just was like, okay, so we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, but we need to bear our own burden. Okay, and just left it at that. And when we started going through Keys to Freedom, they had just gave this beautiful teaching how we each have our own burden, but at the same time, we are to still help people with burdens that are too much on them. And I just love how in our church, like that's part of who we are. You know, like when we see, just like what Aunt Jessie was talking about this morning, when she had a need, Brother Steve and Joy were there. When Miss Peggy is gone. So, isn't that amazing how the little things? Well, I want to take it a little bit further than even that today. So, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. And most of you are familiar with this passage, and you probably have it memorized. I'm going to start at verse 28. And if you didn't know, this is Jesus talking. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so we know that soul means mind, will, and emotion. And so what Jesus does is he has taken all of our sin, all of our cares, all of our fears, all of our worries on himself, and he gives us complete rest. Rest for our minds, rest for our wills, and rest for our emotions. God doesn't leave anything out. Amen. So, what's amazing is we have this fellowship with Jesus. Jesus is in us and with us. And in Isaiah, let's see, Isaiah 10:27, you know, we know where God talks about he has destroyed the enemy's yoke, and it is through the anointing that breaks the yoke, right? And so when we turn our hearts over to Jesus and we say, okay, Lord, I'm done with trying to work for my own salvation. I'm done with trying to be my own God. I'm done with serving other gods. You are going to be my Lord and Savior. And so what he does is he takes all the sin that was in your life and he puts it on himself. And then he gives you a yoke. And if you are familiar with what a yoke is, it's two animals on this wooden bar and they're attached to it. And what happens is most farmers will never put two oxen of the same strength on a yoke. They'll put a strong oxen and a weaker oxen, because the strong one teaches the weaker one what direction to go in. It teaches him to be stronger. So the bigger oxen is actually taking the weight and the burden of the smaller oxen. And that is exactly what Jesus does for us. He takes all of our burden, all of our sin on himself. But we still have our own burden. We still have to choose to have faith in him. He doesn't do everything on his own. He doesn't just force us to take that yoke and make us do everything perfectly all the time. Then we would be like robots, right? He doesn't do that. So that's our own burden. Our burden is to have faith in him, right? So what's incredible about the anointing is that Jesus has broken the old yoke that's on our lives, right? So he has broken the yoke of sin. He has broken the yoke of eternal damnation. He has broken that off of us. We are a new creature in him. Amen. So I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. So in 2 Corinthians 6:14, you can just write this down. Paul tells us to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you know, oftentimes we hear that scripture and the first thing that comes to mind is we shouldn't be married to someone who is not of the same faith. You know, like I said, we shouldn't be united together with someone who does not believe what we believe, because it'll be hard to keep our faith. So, yes, that is true. But Paul is talking to all Christians. He's not just talking to a specific married set of people. You know, he's not talking to just singles and saying, don't be yoked to unbelievers. He's telling all of us that. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience or unbelievers. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And so we have basically a choice what we are going to fellowship with and who we are going to fellowship with each and every day. So when we receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, we have a special relationship and communion with him. So the word fellowship, it means like regular companionship. It's more than just being friends with somebody or just knowing somebody. It's that intimate relationship of constantly communicating with another person. It's very intimate. And we as Christians, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So when we fellowship with each other, it's like Jesus is in you and Jesus is in me, and he knows what's going on in both of us. And so when we are talking to each other, we may not know what the other person is thinking, but the Holy Spirit does. And so we have this special communication that even if we're not saying what's really on our heart, the other person will know in the faith. It's really common when you're talking to another believer and they understand you when you don't even know what to say, because it is the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So what's incredible about this is in James 2:8, it says the royal law is loving your neighbor as yourself. So if you would turn to Matthew 22, we're going to say read what Jesus says about that. Matthew 22, And I'm going to start at verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so what we're doing is we are fulfilling the law of Christ to each other in our relationship to each other. So again, in Galatians 6, 2 and 5, it says, Paul says that when we are bearing one another's burdens, we are actually fulfilling the law of Christ. So we are actually fulfilling God's love toward each other. Amen. So when we are spending time with each other, when we are fellowshipping with each other, that is very, very special, because what happens is the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks off the bondage that we have given to the world. So sometimes, even though we have made Jesus the Lord of our lives, and even though we have given him our heart, and we say, okay, I'm going to give you this yoke, and I'm going to give you all the burden in my life, and I want you to be Lord of my life. So even though we have said that, sometimes we think, well, I'd rather want this part of the world, or this looks better out in the world, or I can handle this better myself, or we have these kind of thoughts that are actually unbelief. They're actually full of darkness. Amen. But when we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we have fellowship with light and righteousness. Just like in 2 Corinthians 6:14, you can go ahead and turn there. I'd actually like to read that verse. 2 Corinthians 6:14. If you're in 1 Corinthians, you will know it has nothing to do with what I'm going to read. So 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And so our fellowship, our deep companionship, our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with God's people is crucial, because when we are united with Christ, that affects every part of our lives. When we are united with the world, that also affects every part of our lives. So we have to make that decision daily. It's not something that you think, well, I'm serving the Lord, I'm going to have fellowship with light. Okay, it's over. No, it is a choice that we make each and every day. Who are we going to fellowship with? And what's incredible about us as the body of believers is sometimes when we're fellowshipping with each other, there will be darkness that will come out of each other's mouths in the form of complaining or bitterness or unforgiveness. And so what we do, because we are in the light, we can either receive that burden of their darkness or their complaining or their bitterness and take it on ourselves. And what happens is we both become unequally yoked with darkness. We want the Lord, but we want the darkness of the bitterness that's going on in their life, and we end up taking on that darkness in our own lives. And that can be a burden that we aren't meant to bear. Amen. Instead, just like we are to walk in love in James 2:8, that fulfills the law of Christ. So it may be hard sometimes to love somebody who is complaining and bitter, and you may think you just want to get involved in their problems and agree with them. And it's just not right, because you're giving into the darkness that is trying to become a burden. It's already a burden on them, but it's trying to become a burden on you. Amen. So in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 is the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, when you are filled with Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit comes out of you. Amen. But when you take on the yoke of the world and the bondage of the world, and you try to go back to your old man and your old way of thinking, then what happens is what comes out of you is darkness and unrighteousness. So like our mind, our will, and our emotions that we should have rest for, that Jesus gives us rest for, because he takes all of our burden and all of our weight on himself. Instead, we give in to fear and doubt and unbelief and hatred, strife, worry, pride, evil desires. We do this when we stop trusting in Jesus and we stop relying on him for all of the burdens in our lives. Amen. So we think, well, this burden is mine to bear, but not really. Not really. Even though Galatians says you bear your own burden, you are never just bearing it alone, because every burden that you have is on Jesus Christ. So yes, you are your own person, meaning you have to answer and you have to have faith in Jesus Christ, but you are never doing anything alone as a believer. You are never doing anything on your own. Amen. The only thing that you are doing is having faith on Jesus Christ. And that may seem like a simple thing, but it is profound, because we cannot do any of this on our own. And we may think, well, okay, I'll have faith in Jesus Christ, but it is a choice that we have to make in our heart. It's nothing that anyone else can make for us. And sometimes it's hard, you know, like especially when fear just kind of like is thrown in your face, you know, when something bad happens and it's like it just grips you. And that's where you just have to understand that Jesus is your burden taker. He's the one who takes all of those things that are rough in your life, but you have to put them on him. Amen. So if you're not having rest for your mind, if you're not having rest for your will and your emotions, then make that choice. Okay, Jesus, I know that this is hard, but I know that you are my caretaker, and I take this burden and I put it on you. Amen. It's a choice that you have to make. It's not something that is going to be like, okay, all of this stuff is happening on my life. Jesus said he's to take his yoke upon him, so his burden is light, his yoke is easy. And so you think, okay, so nothing's going to go wrong because he has all my burdens, and you know, but things go wrong. Amen. But it doesn't mean that we stop walking. So if we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what's amazing about this is, you know, Jesus suffered as an innocent man. He took all of our sin, all of the weight of the sin of the world, not just in that generation, but from then on. So everyone that believes in Jesus, all of their sin was upon him. Amen. But he chose to do that. He chose to endure the cross. Amen. So in our life, yes, we are going to go through suffering. There are going to be some hard moments in our life that we can't control. Like just the last couple weekends, first Colt got hit by a car and then Aiden got shot. Wouldn't that be nice if that didn't happen? If it was just a perfect, happy life and our children never had to go through any heartache and pain, wouldn't that be nice? But that is not the real world. Our children are going to face things they don't expect. We are going to face things that we don't expect and probably hope never happens, right? But even in those moments, Jesus has a path set for us. And in Psalm 23, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." Amen. So even though Jesus has taken our yoke upon himself, we are joined together with him. He bears the weight of our burdens. Sometimes we still have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we still have to go through that. But Jesus, his word is true and it doesn't fail. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Amen. And I love how in Psalm 23 it says, he guides me and he creates paths of righteousness for his namesake. And isn't it amazing that even in the valley of the shadow of death, there are paths of righteousness? Even in those valleys, even in the roughest, hardest times in your life, God has righteousness for you. He makes you righteousness. He makes you righteous in him. Amen. God does that because you have faith in him. Amen. So I just want to encourage you today. I know this is kind of a short sermon because it's just me, but I just want to encourage you. It is the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke of bondage in your life. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen. And when we have fellowship with each other, there is a powerful anointing that helps each one of us overcome the burdens that are in our hearts and lives. Each one of us are carrying burdens that are so hard to deal with that sometimes we don't even have the words to say, "This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm facing." But when we spend time with each other, when we are talking to each other and praying for each other, you don't realize how amazing that is and how much we need that. Because I know that, like, just in Michael and I's personal life, if we would just get up here and start complaining about all of the hard details in our life, it would be probably overwhelming, you know? And I'm sure if each one of you came up here and you told us how hard your life is and the things that you're going through, we would all be like, "Well, how are you even doing that? How are you making it in life?" It is the power of the Holy Spirit that is keeping us going. Amen. It is that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus in you and Jesus in me. When we are talking to each other, when we are communing with each other, there is a special strength and a special rest that each of us gets and receives from the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. Sometimes when you come to church, you don't want other people to know this is what you're facing, right? But sometimes there are moments when you do need to let that go. You do need to talk to somebody and tell someone, "This is what I'm facing, and I need prayer. This is what I'm going through, and I need encouragement." Amen. And God knows. He says that in His Word, and this is where our name for our church came about, was we are to assemble ourselves together because in the last days, in the hardest days of mankind, we would need to exhort one another. We would need to encourage each other. And that was written a couple thousand years ago. So we are in the last days, and even more so now, we need to be exhorting each other. We need to be encouraging each other and loving each other. This fulfills the law of Christ for all of us. Amen. This is the royal law. I love how James puts that. It's the royal law, meaning it is the highest law of the land. It doesn't matter whatever the world says or whatever laws the world tries to put on us. This is the royal law to love each other. Amen. All right, that's all I have. You can go ahead and stand. So I just want to encourage you. Maybe you feel like you're not loving one another sometimes. Maybe you feel like you don't know how to love each other. Let the Holy Spirit do it for you. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows the power of God's love because God is love, and that is God's Spirit in you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your healing power, God, for Aiden and for Colt, in Jesus' name. Thank you for continuing to strengthen them and draw them close to you. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that even in those tragedies, even in those hard moments, God, you kept them alive. You protected them because you have a great plan and purpose for both of those boys, God. We love them. They are precious to us, God. And Father, I lift up each and every person in this place, Lord, even our children, God. You know the weights and the burdens that they have on their hearts. You know the things that they are going through, Lord, the things that they are facing. So God, I just ask you, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would anoint them by your Holy Spirit to break those yokes of worry and fear that is trying to take over their lives in Jesus' mighty name. God, we thank you that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Your word is true and it does not return to you void. We receive the truth of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that each of us is healed by Jesus' stripes. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, you are dismissed.